This is the SF Productions Podcast Network. How I Got My Wife to Read Comics, Episode 343. Can a comic collector of over 25 years get his wife to read them? Will she let him keep them? Learn more in this podcast. Let's go to the comic book lounge with Mindy and Mark.
I want you to fight the Mastermen. Love's in the air for the Scooby Gang. He's from Earth. And the final Fable plans are underway. This is How I Got My Wife to Read Comics for Sunday, February 22nd, 2015. I'm Mark.
And I'm Mindy. Just a reminder, you can go to sfpodcastnetwork.com to get the feed, other SF podcasts, and blogs. You can also subscribe via iTunes, where you can leave us a review.
You can email sfpodcastnetwork@gmail.com, like us at facebook.com/sfppn, follow us on Twitter @sfppn, check out tumblr.com/blog/sfppn, or call us at 614-321-9737. That's 614-321-9SFP. The Multiversity, Mastermen, number one by Morrison and Lee. So Grant Morrison continues his tour of the DC Multiverse, and this issue we find ourselves on Earth 10. Its first appearance was in this issue, but okay. As Earth X, it's the Comics Magazine number one, 1936, named actually as Earth X in JLA number 107 in 1973, and this was the home to the characters that DC had bought from Quality Comics. The story begins in 1939 with Hitler on the toilet, which is rather risque for a non-Vertigo title. He's summoned to the laboratory.
He was reading a Superman comic.
Exactly.
In the bathroom.
They found a rocket that was in the Sudetenland. This has an indestructible baby inside. Cut to 1956 and the fall of Washington, where Overman has wiped out the Nazis' enemies. We get a dream sequence about the death of Overgirl, which is a tribute to the cover from Crisis on Infinite Earths. So we're now in 2016, and the dream is Overman remembering the death of his clone, not his cousin. He wakes up next to Lena, never named, but I have to guess it's Lena Thorol, the sister of Lex Luthor.
Okay.
Overgirl's memorial is the next day, and there we see the rest of the new Reichsmen. Leatherwing, a.k.a. Batman, but it's not Bruce. Lightning, a female Flash. Underwaterman, Aquaman.
That seemed too on point, Underwaterman.
Except you have to remember they're all actually speaking in German, because we learn later that English is a dead language that was just outlawed.
That's true.
And Brunhilde, Wonder Woman. We also see Nazi versions of Green Lantern, Red Tornado, and Martian Manhunter, who I believe is a white Martian in this version. Terrorist Uncle Sam sets off a bomb, a human bomb, at the event. And then the team confers at the Eagle's Nest satellite, the JLA satellite. They talk about the evils of Hitler, which have been mostly forgotten because apparently things are pretty much a paradise, except it's a police state. But Overman, who was apparently gone during a critical time when the first purges occurred, still feels guilt about it. The human bomb is interrogated while Uncle Sam pulls together a group of the usual suspects who survived the purges to become the Freedom Fighters.
Yay!
With Dr. Savannah's help from an alternate universe. So this is the tie-in to Multiversity.
Yeah.
The human bomb, still in custody, takes out the Eagle's Nest, while the annual Ring Cycle opera is in progress. The satellite crashes and takes out Metropolis despite Overman's efforts, and the war has begun. This is very similar to the Captain Marvel issue, because on the surface, this appears to have very little to do with the rest of the main story. But we've been fooled before, because as we've seen, the League of Savannahs is having effects in all the rest of the issues.
Mm-hmm.
Jim Lee's art is tremendous, but it's clear why he can't do ongoing series work. It's just so detailed.
It's so detailed that you couldn't do this and do it every month for...
Which is why he had troubles trying to keep up on Justice League. Buffy the Vampire Slayer, Season 2, Number 12 from Dark Horse by Gage, Brendan, and Levens. Spike rebuffs Buffy's advances and then immediately regrets it. And Xander tells him to let her cool off. Andrew, now a superhero, literally crashes in and tells everyone there's a demon that can create golems out of dead skin.
That was really gross.
So the Scooby Squad meets to plan their attack. Andrew saves the day and then immediately loses temporary powers because he has completed his goal. And this happens while he's physically declaring his love for Clive, which officially puts Andrew out of the closet.
Well, except that was his hero personality, and I think he's probably going to go back into the closet now.
Spike and Buffy meet again at the apartment, and both agree it would have been a huge mistake to get together. Then they proceed to violently make love.
Xander, it's my maquettes. They're being smashed.
Xander listens to his maquettes being smashed. Giles is impatient to be an adult again, because he's hearing this next door.
Well, the last issue was the one where he tried to put the make on one of his ex-girlfriends. She's like, you're 12!
You're 12! So while they're basking in the glow, Spike has a dream, or possibly a memory, of his life as a soulless vampire.
Well, keeping in mind that, you know, whenever Buffy slept with Angel, he turned back into his vampire self, this would be something that Spike would certainly be leery of.
There's just wonderful dialogue throughout, and it'll be interesting to see, by the way, how the comic will be affected by Nicholas Brendan's legal issues going on right now. Because he just got arrested again.
Yeah.
The Thrilling Adventure Hour presents Sparks Nevada Marshall on Mars number 1 from Image Comics by Acker, Blacker, and Bone. So this is an offshoot of a long-running live show and podcast that I highly, highly recommend.
The Thrilling Adventure Hour.
And it's a modern show in the style of old-time radio, and it's a very witty show. There's a group of segments, and Sparks Nevada is just one of them. There's other segments like Beyond Belief, which is kind of Nick and Nora meets Supernatural, that's also going to get a comic book from Image. Moonshine Holler, about a rich man in the guise of a hobo who goes town to town helping people. Captain Laserbeam, an Adam West-style superhero adventure. And there's a bunch of others. And actors in the L.A. area step into those roles. Quite commonly, they get bigger actors from television who just want to do things in this show because it's a lot of fun. So the podcast is actually coming to a conclusion so the team of Acker and Blacker can concentrate on comics like this, possible TV shows, things like that. Now, Sparks Nevada is, as you would suspect, a sci-fi western similar to Buck Rogers. I think you may want to listen to the podcast before reading this to get some of the jokes.
I really almost think you have to.
It's really an extension of the podcast. Jay Bone's artwork really fits the story and the characters. And by the way, there's also a Thrilling Adventure hardcover graphic novel, which was the result of a Kickstarter campaign that's out. I highly recommend all of this, but you may want to start with the podcasts themselves, and they're available on all your podcasting platforms.
Yeah, and you can usually go back and get all of them. It's not like it's a timely one.
No.
That you would have to listen to the week it came out.
Yeah, I believe you can get them from the beginning, because I actually discovered them rather late, and I started from the beginning. Fables 149 from Vertigo by Willingham and Buckingham. This is the penultimate issue of the long-running series. We learn the rest of the story of Snow and Red's mother, Lauda. As you remember, she left her family to avoid killing her sisters, as was the tradition. And it's almost like this compulsion to do this.
Mm-hmm.
You just have to. And so she lives alone for years, and then the last remaining sister arrives. They battle. The battle is very short, and Lauda is the victor. And you got to wonder, was that her plan all along?
Well, I'm sure she would have been perfectly happy just existing by herself. And she would have never gone looking for the other sister to kill her.
Right.
But she had to assume that that other sister would be along at some point. And so she kept, you know, her options open.
Later, this handsome gentleman wanders by and they quickly get married. She told him she could not have children, didn't want to have children, to avoid continuing that curse. But she gets pregnant, says, okay, well, only have one child. That'll still be safe. Unfortunately, she has twins, Snow and Red. The father dies within a year, possibly killed by the archetypical evil stepmother.
Well, I think, didn't he say he was on his way back from dropping off his daughter to get married somewhere?
Right.
So that maybe he was actually killed by his daughter, who was the evil stepmother, and then that's who they sent Snow to grow up with.
Yeah.
It was very weird.
Yeah, it was just kind of mentioned in passing, didn't really explain it very well. So now we know that Snow and Red have to battle to the death and why they have to. So Red begins to prepare. She's decided she's going to use the glass ring to control Bigby, who Bigby is currently a monster, get him to calm down, and then let him get back into Snow's good graces before ordering him to kill her.
Mm-hmm.
And then Red will convince Bigby again via the ring that he's actually in love with her. Meanwhile, Snow, in black armor, arrives at a destroyed wolf manor. Brandish finally kills Lancelot, and the crow arrives at this dark castle, which this all leads us to the final battle. Also, we have the final Sleeping Beauty and demonic car Hadean story. And remember, the car is actually an evil witch who's forced to drive others around for a set period of time of events, of drives, until she can turn back into being this evil witch.
Evil witch, yes.
Well, we're down to the last time. Meanwhile, Beauty has been scratched by the Nightblade in battle, and she's going to become undead. Now, she fights it with various magical potions over time, but eventually it's like, okay, it's happening now. So Beauty takes Hadean for her last ride to the end of the universe. So the idea is, where do you want to go? I want to go to the end of the universe, which will take forever.
Yes.
Kind of screwing over the witch. And then Beauty proceeds to stick herself with the needle, putting herself to sleep, which traps the witch and resolves her issues of being undead because she'll just be asleep forever.
Yes.
One more issue to go, and then we'll see what Vertigo does. Unwritten just finished. They don't have anything huge. You know, they've got something called Suiciders coming out. But
oh, really? I had not heard of that.
Because it's only been in every comic.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, here's a preview. The same 9 pages over and over and over again. Sorry.
All right. Before we get out of here, it's time to play America's fastest growing new game show.
Guess who's on the cover of Entertainment Weekly? Are you ready, Mark?
I'm ready.
I'm going to push the button now.
TV related?
No.
Movie related?
Yes. Well, I'm going to go back and say it could also be TV related.
Is it one person on the cover?
Yes.
Is it a person who's been on TV and movies?
Yes.
Okay. Is it in any way related to the Oscars?
No.
Okay.
Well, you know, no.
Okay. So is this person mostly known for TV?
Now.
But used to be in movies or is planning to be in movies? Or?
I would say she would still be in movies.
Okay.
As well as in TV, although right now she is in a TV show.
In a TV show. Is she, but she's not, is she one of the nominees for Oscar?
No.
Okay. Is she best known for comedy?
No.
For drama?
Yes.
Okay. And has done television and is well known for television.
Well, she is doing television
right
now.
Doing television now.
And she is well known for her role right now in television.
Television. Okay. Is the role on television on a broadcast network?
Yes.
Okay. Is it CBS?
No.
Is it ABC?
Yes.
Okay. So ABC is, and it's a drama on ABC.
Yes.
Is it one of the Shonda Rhimes shows?
It is. Ooh, we're getting close.
Is it Kerry Washington?
No.
Is it Viola Davis?
Yes. Yes, it is Viola Davis. Woo! Oh, I was a little worried you weren't going to get that. Because I think, you know, she's probably equally well known for films and television.
Yeah, that's true.
Depending upon what you've seen her in.
True.
So, there. I gave you lots of clues
you
for
did.
That one.
Well, you said she at one point before I'd asked the gender, so that
okay,
helped me.
Well, never mind.
Want to remind you to go to sfpodcastnetwork.com to get the feed, other SF podcasts, and blogs, including our From the Pop Culture Bunker video podcast. You can subscribe via iTunes, and please leave us a review.
Email sfpodcastnetwork@gmail.com. Like us at facebook.com/sfppn. Our Twitter is @sfppn. Tumblr.com/blog/sfppn is another place where you can find us. Or you can call us and leave a message at 614-321-9737. That's 614-321-9SFP.
Thanks for listening, everybody.
Bye.
Bye-bye.